In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? I have to thank Francie for that rendition of our Genesis reading, because I think she pulled out something that's very important in it. The woman who you gave to me gave me that apple. I want to start by sharing a story from when I was a child and maybe heard somebody walking around and coming closer to me that I wasn't ready to face. I was probably about 4 or 5 years old, maybe a little older, which would make the story a little more embarrassing. But I had learned to write, and it was this new power that I had in the world, and I had learned to write my name, which means, as many of you who have young children know, it means that I had learned to write my name on things. And I had not quite learned yet how to discern between things I was supposed to write my name on and things that I was not. But I had some inkling that there was a number of things I was not supposed to write on and that many of them were in the home. But there was some piece of me that still just itched to write. So I, in a moment of early cleverness, I conceived of a plan by which I would be able to write on something, which I probably wasn't supposed to, and not get found out, and then even if I were to be found out, wouldn't get in trouble for it. And I took a clay pot that we had in the house, and on the inside of it, I wrote not my name, but my brother's. Now, he was probably about 2 years old this time, and was not yet writing, and so my plan wound up blowing up on me. And sure enough, like Adam and Eve in the garden hearing the steps of God coming, I remember hearing the steps of my parents as they were calling my name, and I knew that I had been found out. And I knew that I was supposed to hide, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but I certainly remember being called out on the carpet in front of my parents, who demanded to know how this writing had gotten on the inside of the vase. And so I went with part B of my plan and foolishly doubled down on it and said, well, that's not my name. And of course, I got in much bigger trouble for trying to blame my brother Peter than I ever would have if I had just owned up and said, I just like writing. It's so much fun. I'm learning to write or something like that. Think for a minute with me of everything that's in this moment of fall, this sort of story of a bit of original sin in my own young life, right? There's the hiding and the cover-ups. There's the guilt and the shame. I knew that I'd done something wrong. There was a sort of knowledge in the first place that I wasn't supposed to do it, but I really, really wanted to. And so on I went. And then there I was at the end of things, blaming my brother, my poor, sweet, innocent brother, instead of taking responsibility for what I'd done. Now that, I offer to you, is the essence of what sin is about. All that stuff just bound up there in the life of a small child without an awful lot of malicious intent. The readings today have a lot to do with what sin is, what it means to be somebody bound by sin. The story from Genesis, the story of that initial moment of making a mistake and trespassing against the first rules that God ever set, these fairly straightforward ones, these very generous ones, right? Everything in this garden you may have, but don't eat of these trees. And then that one moment of temptation, that capitulation to the serpent's dare, and then here we are today listening to Adam try to shift the blame back onto Eve and even onto God, right? This woman who you gave me gave me the apple. You know, God, if you hadn't given me this woman to be a companion, I never would have done this. Mom, Dad, if you'd never given me crayons, that vase wouldn't have anyone's name in it right now. That would not have gone over well either. If someone were to ask you what sin is, would you know what to tell them? I remember getting the question in seminary. I remember we had a series of about 10 weeks where we had classes, and each week the class was just about one word, maybe God or spirit. Humanity was one of them. And after a while, we got to sin. I remember that it was really a struggle to pull out a definition, to pull out a good description, pull out words and language that I could use to say, this always is what I know to be sin. It's sort of like the definition of it. Perhaps you've heard the story that the Supreme Court in the 70s was trying to figure out if a certain film was pornographic and offensive or not, and if it should be kept out of theaters. And I think it was Prescott Stewart who said, "I know it when I see it." That was his description. And I think all of us would sort of nod along with that, right? I know it when I see it. That's something we could say about sin. I know it when I see it. But it's a little harder to describe just what it is. But I offer to you that the image that we have from this reading in Genesis actually is what sin always is. Sin is always being out of our relationship with God. Sin is always separation from God. It often has the things that are happening in the particular story of Adam and Eve hiding. It often has that sort of hiding away, that trying to cover ourselves over, that sense of shame, that sense of guilt. Those are common components, but always, 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 sin is separation from God. It's not necessarily something that we do. It's not necessarily a specific action. It's just this orientation we can fall into sometimes if we're not being careful, where we stop thinking about what God's will for our life is. That's kind of bleak, I think. I think that can sound kind of hard. I think it can be a frustrating thing to us to imagine that if we're not really, really careful, if we're not working hard all the time, we're going to wind up falling into sin without even realizing it. And wind up doing all sorts of things or being out of relationship in ways that we never even meant to. But I think it's important to recognize just exactly that. When I was 4 or 5 years old, I wasn't trying to break my relationship with my parents, and I just sort of wanted to do something a little different. I didn't quite understand the rules that were there meant to guide me. I didn't quite understand what they were there for. I didn't quite understand why it would be a bad thing if everything in the house had my name written on it in crayon or black marker. I think that would have been a nice-looking house to live in at the age of 4 or 5. But those things are all a part of the world that we live in. The sort of guidance that God would offer us is always there. And if we're not careful, we can sort of blink and miss it. So it is sort of on us to pay the best attention we can. But none of us is perfect, right? All of us have some crayon story in our history somewhere. Maybe something that simple, maybe something a little more significant. But to those moments where we do make a mistake, God's offered something else. Into those moments, we get the story from the gospel today. When Jesus, who's been healing people on the Sabbath, which is against the rules, Jesus, who has been casting out demons, Jesus, who's been driving the work of the devil out of people, is sort of called under the carpet by the scribes and the Pharisees, the rulers of that age, who want to know, how dare he break this rule? And Jesus tells them, as he often does, that there is a more important rule than the one they're paying attention to. The more important rule is whether or not they're participating in the will of God. And in that moment, Jesus pronounces great forgiveness. He says, I will forgive the sins of many people. People will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, as long as they're not blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. As long as they're not breaking their relationship with God, it's okay if you make those little mistakes. It's okay if you sort of forget to do something. It's okay if you get frustrated and act out in some way. Those are things that he understands. Those are things he forgives. Just don't try to break your relationship with God. That, I think, is a much more hopeful message. It's something that is being offered to us for all those moments when we just fall short of what we meant to do, when we just fall short of what we would have loved to do. And it's an invitation to be back in relationship. It's an invitation to be called home again. It's an invitation to pay attention once again to what the will of God is in our lives. I hear from a lot of people very often language about whether something's part of God's plan. People will ask me whether a certain thing was part of God's plan or if God has a plan for a certain circumstance. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that God does. I'm not sure that there's one specific plan that everything has to sort of work out by. I think instead, God maybe has hopes for us. I think that God sees all of our lives and sees a lot of different possibilities, and then God does let us choose amongst them. But God's letting us choose in a very generous way. God's letting us choose knowing that we might make mistakes and that if we do, God's going to forgive us. God's letting us choose in a way that knows that we might not know what's best for us, but that God can show us later and call us home. God's letting us choose in the way that the sheep have kind of a run of the pasture, but eventually the shepherd might come and beckon them back or lead them through a different gate. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually God will complete that work with us. Eventually, whatever sin we've managed to get ourselves into, God's willing to forgive it and bring us home. The ending of the gospel is this wonderful image of the sort of family of Jesus showing up and wanting to get in and see him. And Jesus takes the opportunity to teach the crowd that's there listening to him another lesson. And he says, "Everyone who does the will of my Father, everyone who does the will of God is my family." That's what family means. Family means we're in it together. Family means we are paying attention to these hopes that God has for us. Family means that you and I, even if we're very different from one another, even if we come from very different places, can be a part of this same story, part of this same thing. We can work together. We can bind ourselves up into something wonderful and gracious and loving that God has given to us as a gift. The grace of God is that we can be family, even if we aren't blood. We can be family even if some of us, and indeed all of us, are sinners. We can be family and we can be drawn up all over again into the will of God because Jesus is willing to go the extra step to come and get us and to take us back with him. Jesus is willing to pay the extra price for the things that we get wrong and still love us and still love the things that we get right. So my prayer for you this week, the invitation I want to make sure that we all hear from the gospel of Jesus, is this invitation to come back all over again to the will of God, to imagine what it is that God hopes for us here and now in this moment of our lives, what pastures we're being called to, what things we're being led towards, and which things in our life, which choices God's maybe guiding us away from. We can hide in the garden if we want, but God's going to find us. And the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is even when God does find us, there's forgiveness, there's love, and there's a welcome back waiting. May you find that in your life this day. Amen.